Welcome to the Rewrite Your Story with Tasha Jo podcast, where we fearlessly dive into the vast realm of thoughts, ideas, and conversations that know no bounds. Buckle up and prepare for a wild ride as we venture into uncharted territories and explore the unexplored. On this journey, we leave no stone unturned and no topic untouched. Tune in, fasten your seatbelt, and prepare for a roller coaster ride through the vast expanse of human curiosity. Get ready to be amazed, enlightened, and entertained, because on this podcast, there's only one rule. There are no rules. Hello, beautiful friends. Welcome back. On today's episode, I have guest speaker Lauren Kirkpatrick, also CEO, business owner of Envy Salon. Want to say hi, Lauren?
Hello.
So today we are going to touch on a little bit of everything. Me and Lauren have been friends for how many years now?
Over 20.
Yeah, like 22.
Yeah.
Damn. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of people can say they've had a friendship that long. And Lauren is a hoot. She cracks me up all the time. But today, let's start off with just starting a business, being a business owner.
Yeah, it's definitely, like, I'm sure you understand, it's just a leap.
Yeah.
To me, it just felt I had to do it. It's just a leap and a jump, and it's crazy.
It's a wild ride. Yeah. How long have you been doing it now?
I've done hair for 16 years.
Okay.
And then my business, 4 years, going on five.
But okay.
Yeah, and it's just a wild ride of emotions. I feel like there's good days and there's bad days. You just...
Totally. And this was never part of either of our plans.
No, absolutely not.
And your dad was the owner, right? Of his salon?
Yeah.
Still,
like,
is or no?
No.
Okay.
Like, he was for like 40 something years.
And you started working for him, right?
Yeah. I worked with him at his salon and then I moved to Envy. And yeah, I just felt like all the signs, the universe, everything just was there. Like, I remember the previous business owner had talked to me roughly about it. And I was like, yeah, like, I've always wanted to. And she's, you would be perfect for this, like, to take it over. And I was like really mulling it over. And I was like, I don't know if this is the right decision. And I was walking through Coeur d'Alene and I stepped on, and I'm a breast cancer survivor, and I stepped on a gold pin because I was talking to my mom about it. I was like, I just don't know. I don't know what the right decision is. And like, stuck on this, my foot stepped on this pin and it was a gold breast cancer ribbon and it was stuck to the bottom of my foot.
You're,
and
like,
I was
sign.
Like, this has got to be it. And then I found like a coin and it was just like, I have to, like, I have to make this decision and jump. And I did. And I just,
oh my gosh, I remember that moment too, where I was like, yep, this is what I'm meant to do, but how the fuck am I going to do it?
Yeah.
I had no idea, but I love it. And I wouldn't, I have no regrets. I love what I do and I've got big plans, but I wanted to touch on that because you've loved this journey so far, but recently you've been contemplating a different path, right?
Yeah, I've always felt called to help people and be, I feel like with doing hair, I'm always
a therapist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I do feel like I share space for people to be themselves and talk about things. There's things I know about my clients that no one knows.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. And they haven't told anybody. And they always, I always like comment and I'm like, hey, this is Vegas, man. Whatever happens in this chair, like, whatever happens here stays here, man. I won't say I'm the keeper of your secrets.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, I do that part about my job is helping people and making them feel good.
Yeah.
And I do feel like that is my calling. Mm-hmm. I do feel like I enjoy that aspect of my
job. And you're really good at it too. So that's something I wanted to ask you, is because you've always loved doing hair, which helps people feel better about themselves. And then this last year, you've really dove into your own inner healing, right?
Oh, yeah. Really.
Okay.
Yeah.
What has that looked like for you?
I think, like, in what aspect?
Just like therapy or workshops. What have you been doing for your healing?
Just, I've gone to therapy a lot. I've dove journaling, meditating, and just coming. I saw this quote the other day and it says, your ability to grow is directly proportional to how many truths you can see about yourself without running away.
Mm.
And I was like, oh my gosh, that's so true. Sitting with those icky feelings of,
absolutely.
Okay, why am I this way about myself? And getting to the root core of it without running away. Because so many people want to just run away.
That's the easier thing to do. Yeah. But you've got to face the darkness.
Yeah, you have to face it. And you have to, and just really leaning into it, mm-hmm. which is so ugly.
Yeah, and not fun, but so rewarding.
Yes, it is. And I think the past year of just leaning into all the icky parts of yourself that and dissecting those out and being like, okay, why? Why am I doing this? Or why do I feel like I need to do this?
Where did these beliefs come from? And
working through them. And mm-hmm. you work through them. And then once you become comfortable with them, you
embrace them.
Yeah, they're not like triggers anymore. Yes. You're like, okay, it just rolls off your back.
What did you say the last moon circle you had attended? You said something, you're in this new era of, what was your motto?
Unbothered.
Unbothered.
Unbothered. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. And I've seen that shift in you. I mean, again, I've known you for over 20 years and just seen that shift this last year and where you're just like unfuckable with.
Thank you.
Yeah. Unfuckable.
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 Yeah. And it's, I'm such a people pleaser and
used to be.
Yes. Yeah. Recovering. But yeah. And it's taken me a really long time to get here. And it's not, and I would always see these people too and be like, yeah, I'm recovering or whatever. It doesn't mean I still don't have bad days.
Absolutely.
Because so many people look at people that are like healed or whatever mm-hmm. and they think they never have a bad day ever. Right.
Yeah.
And that's not true. Like you still have your days where you're going to slip up.
Yeah.
And you're still going to have your days where you're going to feel like shit.
Yeah.
But, and that's okay.
Yeah. And it's okay to not be okay.
Or I've also learned like when those days that you have had bad days and you've slipped up and you let someone creep in your life and break your unfuckable with.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, but why? What is this teaching me? And you and I were talking earlier about changing our perspectives. Like,
yep.
Instead of being like, oh my God, like, I'm so terrible. Why did I let this person get to me? Like, just
recognizing it too. Like that's one of my favorite parts about this journey is handling a situation and being like, oh, wow, I know, or I remember the old version of Tasha, how she would have thought or what, mm-hmm. how she would have handled it. And it feels so good to just be like, wow, I've came so far.
Yeah. And you have to learn to like clap for yourself and be like, wow, like the old me would have been like distraught.
Yeah, totally. You know, like, and I want to touch on that next too. Like you say, clap for yourself. Another thing we wanted to talk about was success and being happy for other people. You brought that up, and I think mm-hmm. that's really important. So go ahead and lead on that.
We were just talking earlier about how when someone comes to us and talks about their successes and how both of us are like,
fuck yeah, go girl. Yeah.
We're like, yes, do it. Like mm-hmm. our first instinct is to always love that journey for them and support them and be like, okay, like, you should do this or that or and I was just it had me thinking like how much would this world change if people did have that fuck yes energy. And I feel like a lot of people come from a space that they're
envy
or social media doesn't help.
Mm-hmm.
It's comparison is the thief of and if we all came from a space where we were genuinely happy for somebody rather than I don't want to say greed, but
yeah, it's a little bit of everything. Like, and that's only because it's a projection of what's going on internally for that person is if it is coming from envy and whatnot.
Like your issues within yourself mm-hmm. or your self-doubt of your own self. And I feel like how much better of a world would it be if all of us shared that space to be rooting
100%.
Someone on? Yeah. Even though the idea sounds crazy to them, like, how much, because I'm sure you faced that when you first started this. Like,
yeah.
What
and I gonna, still do. I can pick up on it, feeling people.
Yeah.
You can start feeling and seeing who's genuine and who's not, but learning to not let it affect you. There's going to be people like that, and that's part of their healing journey.
Yeah, exactly. But look, with that being said, how great would this world be if we just all were like, obviously,
on everybody's team, just rooting for everybody, supporting everybody. And that's what Mystic Movement is all about, too, and bringing together just as many people as possible. And look at, I've seen a huge shift. I'm sure you have, too, in your environment, because when you start doing the work, it's a ripple effect. And more people keep coming on board and more people keep coming in. And it's addicting. Yeah. I'm addicted to good vibes for sure. I'm Tasha and I'm an addict to good vibes. People always say, you're like the most positive person. And yeah, I am a very optimistic and positive person, but I choose to be. Yeah. I like how it makes me feel.
Yeah. And then that's like even the thing too. Like you can be a positive person and a lot of people look at that and be like, oh, she probably never has a bad day.
Oh, yeah. But I have my days.
Yeah. We all have our days. Like, yeah. Just like the other day we were joking and I was like, it's not my day. You're like, it's not my day either. And yeah. I was like, let's hug under a chicken coop light.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like, that's
just
right.
Admitting it
and just
about
being
that.
Like, yeah, well, not my day. Cool. Yeah. Let's move on.
And like, everybody has different types of bad days. I'm not somebody when I have a bad day, like I don't get angry. I don't get pissed off and whatnot, but I'll have off days where I don't feel like being social yeah. or I don't mm-hmm. feel like when I choose how to spend those days, I don't want to bring that upon other people. So I'll mm-hmm. isolate or do something by myself or surround myself around a good friend that mm-hmm. wants to sit through that with me.
And I think, yeah, and that's like with anything, people like who just sharing space, like with yeah. anything is so powerful to help people on any level.
I think more people need to be aware too. You say holding space and sharing space and whatnot. Think about when somebody wants to dump, you know, asking the person before and saying, hey, I have a lot I need to get out. Do you have the space right now?
Yeah.
And we've gotten really good about that because it is important to ask because that person may not be able to hold that space at that time.
Yeah. Or yeah. And you're just not mentally there. Mm-hmm. I can't do it. Yeah. And that's something I've learned too, because I've become more aware.
Mm-hmm.
Like of myself.
Yes.
And trauma dumping on some other people. I've become more aware of
picking
like,
and choosing who those people are, you mean? Well, or
no, more aware of like myself doing it to other people. Okay. Like other people may not have space for this mm-hmm. today. So what do I really want to keep to myself and mm. who do I want to talk about or
yeah.
like, and there are some things that you just need to work through on your own, on your own.
And
head.
Like you touched on journaling, that is the best. I love journaling. I just actually did a journal prompts Instagram post last night.
Yeah.
Because I was journaling. I'm like, I need to share this with people. Mm-hmm. Who knows who needs to hear it? Because I love journaling. I love writing.
My biggest thing is journaling, like negative thoughts and burning it.
Yep.
It's so powerful. And I always tell people, I'm like, dude, I know it sounds woo, but do it.
I
like,
love the woo. I'm all here for the woo.
Yeah, we all know you are here for the woo.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying like other people's yeah. perspective aren't comfortable with it. And it's way out of their realm, which yeah. is not for you and I, but it feels so cleansing to
find
just
what works for you, whether it's journaling or meditating. Mm-hmm. That's another thing. Meditating. I am not that person. And I'm sure, I don't know if you are, but you and me are both ADD, so we have been forever. But when I started learning about meditating, sitting there crisscross and silent, that does not work for me. I get so impatient and I can maybe last 5 minutes. So I have found other ways to meditate that work for me.
Girl, you're lucky I'm just sitting here.
Yeah,
not
I know, right?
Okay, this is your next podcast. Have a treadmill.
Yeah, right? Oh my God, people do that too. I've seen.
Yeah, I know. I always say that they need to do movie theater with mm-hmm. treadmills.
Oh my God, that would be so awesome.
I'd go to way more movies.
Yes. But. Oh man. Okay. What else? Friendships. I know this last year, I feel like has been the year for your healing mostly, mm-hmm. right? You've really tapped in. Have your friendships changed?
No, I don't feel like they've changed. I feel like the core people that I have
maybe gotten closer or.
Yeah. I always feel like I have many people that I call my friends, but I've always said I have two people.
Oh, yeah. No, I like, literally, I mean, one handful. Those are my ride or dies.
Yeah, yeah.
My front row friends is what I call them. Who are your front row friends?
Yeah. And I feel like they've always been my front row friends. And before going on the subject, I'd always be like, oh, I don't have this core group of like girlies that I like hang with. But that's okay.
That's more than okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I used to think like that. Be like, which it's okay to not have that. It's okay to have your core little people.
Well, you and me have always, like, all growing up, we had a large circle of friends. Mm-hmm. We were friends with everybody. And I feel like over the years, and I love it, that my circle has gotten smaller and smaller. I'd rather show up. They say it's quality over quantity.
Yep.
And I would rather, of course, I'm friends with everybody, but I like having just my close, tight-knit group of friends.
Yeah, I've always I'm very extroverted.
Yeah.
But I'm also very introverted. Me too. Very introverted. I like just small, intimate little things, hanging out with friends, like one-on-one.
Yeah.
But I think most of that with our jobs.
Yes.
Like we're very social all the time.
And we're around people all the time. People so all we the like time. Our alone time.
Yeah. So we go to our house. It's like our...
Oh, that's how I spent my Friday and Saturday night. I was on my couch with a book and my binder and just Friday night, Saturday night. I know.
Like, that sounds amazing.
A year ago or not even, who knows, but like I would have to be doing something, you know. Mm-hmm. Growing up, my parents were always like, why can't you sit still? Why can't you be like your sister? She'd be in a room playing with Barbies. I'm like, fuck this, you know, out the front door had to be doing something. But I used to feel like I needed to be around people. Now I'm so content because I've really learned to love myself and love who I am. I'm like, I like hanging out with myself.
Yeah.
I know. And I think that's really important.
I know. I always love going to a restaurant by myself.
See, I don't do that yet. I don't really? Do movies oh or restaurants. I don't even really go out to eat or do a lot of that, but that's something I should do. I run errands by myself all the time.
Yeah. And, going out to eat is like next level.
Really?
By yourself. Yes.
You okay. have to. That's because one I have like, not done.
You don't have to wait on anybody else's order. Like you can
it's
order when
your
you
time.
Want. It's your time. Mm. Mom's always like, you're so weird. And I'm like, it's fine. Love it. I love it.
See,
eating
that right there, though, that's a perfect example of the programming of people. And their fear as they grow up, like, you're so weird. Yes, I know your relationship with your mom. However, I'm talking about growing up, the comments that are made to us.
Yeah.
Then we fear doing those things because of a comment somebody said.
Yeah. But or even you sit there and you're like, okay, should I not be doing that?
Yeah.
But I do think that if you take that time to just go by yourself and you don't have to wait on anybody else, like you can just order when you order, when you're done, you don't have to, it's very cleansing.
Oh yeah. And that's one thing I loved about when I went to Ireland, the people there, like we would be sitting there waiting for them to bring us menus, but they operate completely different.
Oh,
you have to
over
go
there.
Up
yeah.
and to ask them for a menu, tell them when you're done, because they just let you do your yep. thing. And it's so calming and relaxing.
Well, that's like when I went to Paris, like there's,
oh yeah, I forgot you went to Paris.
Yeah. And in America, we're very like, okay, have your order, you get your drink, you get your drink, and then you're out, like fast paced. But anywhere in that area, like you're hanging, like there's people there for like hours.
Oh yeah. I know the difference coming back to the States, like anxiety. Yeah. Just, I was like, whoa,
get them in, get them out.
Yeah.
But like, it's a very different lifestyle. That's like it's an experience, like you're really, but I feel like that's that whole area. Like,
oh, for sure.
Everywhere over on that side.
And there's certain, you know, around here too, it just depends. But yes, in the States, it's just go phones. And that's something I've really been working on. Where go ahead.
Oh, I hate at restaurants when they have the phone menus.
The phone menu?
Yeah.
Oh, where you scan the QR code? Oh, yeah. It's just another reason to be on.
It's so nasty.
And then they just opened a restaurant in California where it's like all robots.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know.
It's so nasty to me. Everybody's on, I look around and everybody's got their phone.
Every single person.
They're not looking at each other. I hate the QR code. Can we make it stop?
It should be no phones allowed out at the table.
Period.
Right?
Period.
Yeah.
Carson is like 13. And that's like my one rule, no phones at the table. It just gives everybody this, I don't know what the word I'm looking for, but
the quality time of just being present.
Yeah. That whatever they have on their phone is more important than you. Or even like when I'm checking out my clients or I have to check a message, I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm not ignoring you. What you're saying is important. Yeah. I just have this.
Taking that
I do
time
that
too. Yeah.
To say that because I feel it when somebody pulls up their phone and like,
oh, yeah.
They're
hello,
like,
hello, are you listening
yeah, I'm
to
like,
me?
Hi.
I'm talking to you. And that's something I am getting better at because it's habit. We're creatures of habit and we're so used to having our phone with us 24/7. But recently I've been keeping mine on silent because I don't need to hear it ding.
I know.
50 million times a day, especially with my phone number being the business phone number.
Yeah, it goes off all the time.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'll get to it when I get to it and I will leave it in a room, go do my thing. And it's, oh my gosh, I've noticed a huge shift.
Yeah. And I don't think people understand how much you're constantly have to be available when you are a business owner, like how outside stuff, how many things are constantly like messaging you or
yes,
it's constant.
And it's not just phone, like texting her phone. It's the emails, it's the Instagram messages, the TikTok, all of the things. And just, but I've really learned it's okay. Like, I will get to these when I get to them. Mm-hmm. Just because I pop open my email and I've got five emails I need to respond to, I don't need to do it right then and there.
Yeah.
I'll take care of what I need to do and then go for a walk and sit down and be like, okay, now I'm going to reply.
So when's your best time of sitting down and figuring that out? Are you most productive in the morning?
Like, no.
Yeah. Or is yours like more like evening?
For sure. So, and I'm a manifesting generator. What are you in human design again?
Do you know? I'm the fire starter.
Fire starter. Oh gosh, I don't know which one. Generator, manifester?
Manifester.
Manifester. Okay.
Manifester, fire starter.
Okay. Okay. We're going to have to pull into your chart again because I've learned so much more about it. But I am a Manny Gen and I'm always doing all the different things and whatnot. But it's all these people say, oh, get up at 5 a.m., start your day. And that doesn't work for everybody.
Yeah,
not everybody is wired that way. I get my energy later in the afternoon and I'm a night owl. That's when I'm productive.
Yeah.
I could not wake up first thing in the morning, record a podcast episode. I'll be like, good morning. And I would not show up fully.
You'd be like, oh, don't know. I know that's like me with people. They're like, oh, can you make a hair appointment at 8? I'm like, you don't want me here at
8. Yeah,
like,
you don't want me cut your hair at 8 a.m.
You don't want me here at 8, actually. I will not be talking to you.
Yes.
But I do think that is like different seasons of your life because like when Carson was younger, my most productive, I was not like a 5 a.m. girly, like absolutely not. So
yeah,
I was like definitely later in the afternoon. But now that I have Abel and both the boys, like me getting up at 5 a.m., 4:45, 5 a.m. is I need that time.
Yeah.
I like need that time.
And that works for you. I did that for 16 years, getting up at 4:45 and I was off work by noon. And then I had my entire day. And I love getting up early. I'm telling myself that because I'm trying to learn to love it again. But
but even then, like just right now, the season of your life probably just isn't working for you. Like you're probably doing things later here and trying to close tabs, a million tabs.
Yep.
And
100%.
Yeah. And I think that's.
And it changes, like you said, the season that's going on in your life.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. And just being okay with that. Okay. Right now, I can't handle that right now. Like, I have to do this way.
Yeah. And it takes practice too, though, because we can always become better at something. So I can say, oh, I'm not a morning person, but I can say, okay, I'm going to be in bed by 10 because I want to be up at 6 or 7 and whatnot. And I was doing that a couple weeks ago and I was getting better. And then, of course, I fell off because I had a couple late nights where I was up till 2 doing whatever. And so it does take practice too. You can do anything you put your mind to, but listening to your body too, that's another huge thing where it's really going towards the things that feel good to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's, I'm way more productive with my workout if I'm in the morning.
Okay.
If I wait too long at the end of the day, I'm like, I don't have to do it today.
Yeah.
But then, but if
just starts the tone of your day.
Yeah. But even now I'm realizing like, okay, well, if I do it at noon or 4 or whatever, it's okay.
Just an experiment. If you're somebody who doesn't know what works for you, do something different each day and see which one excited you the most or the day that you felt the best.
Yeah. Yeah. And I always, that's what I've been doing too, is keeping a log of what has filled me up in the day,
who depletes me, who energizes me.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's been interesting too. I've just started that. So like, I'm not very deep into it, but
you'll see a pattern too. And you'll see, I love that you're doing that because I literally just wrote that for one of my journal prompts last night was, list the people who deplete you, list the people who excite you and bring you satisfaction. That's not just people too, but places, your environments, and just pay attention. Do a check-in at the end of each night, like a body scan, and go throughout your day. Where were my highs? Where were my lows? Okay, tomorrow I'm going to remove that because that was a low. It's a constant thing to figure out what works for you.
Yeah. Carson and Abel, now that he can talk, and we'll do like high-low buffalo at the end of the night for the dinner table.
And how does that go again?
So high is your high of the day. Low is like whatever was your low of the day.
I love that.
And then buffalo is like you can bring up anything you want to talk about.
Oh, my God. Where did you come up with that? Is that a thing? Because I had never heard of it until you had brought it up. But
the high-low buffalo? I think I like read it somewhere. I don't know, but we've been doing it for years. Like years and years, as long as I can
love
remember
that.
With Carson. But it's always funny when I've been going through my journals of depleting. My kids are always my highs.
Yeah.
They bring me so much joy. But it's so funny to hear what their like highs are. It's so simple. Like,
oh, I bet coming from a, how old's Carson?
13 and Abel's. Four-year-old.
Oh my God.
But it's so funny to hear just the simplest of things
that bring them joy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it brings me so much perspective.
Absolutely.
And just at the end of the night and like holding, and like we've been saying, like holding space for the kids to just say whatever and be like, yeah, this is what really bothered me. I didn't like it. Or this is what was.
Bring up what happened with Carson. Or what was it? You talked about it at the Moon Circle. He had mentioned something. You worked through the steps with him.
Oh, the anxiety ladder.
Yeah.
Like yeah. And I've learned that through my therapist. And
yeah, I learned that through, it was like the 7-layer thing through Tony Robbins or something. But explain to people what
that
is.
Well, and it's just, I can't remember like specifically what he was worried about. But he was like, yeah, and this. I don't know. I'll say, I'm worried this person's going to be mad at me.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, so next step, what if they are mad at you? And he's like, I guess they'd be mad at me. And I'm like, okay, then what? And he's like, then they wouldn't talk to me. And I'm like, okay, then what? And so we just go down it. And then at the end of it, he's just like, I guess it's.
Doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
Yes. See, and so you help point that out to him. And so many more people need to do that too, because our minds just, we talked about that at the circle as well. Like we have 30,000 thoughts a day.
That is crazy. I learned that at the circle. And every time I go to the circle, I come back with so many learning experiences to put towards my own life.
Hearing other people's stories and their experiences. And
yeah,
stuff.
But not even like the knowledge of all the negative thoughts that you have in your brain and the positive thoughts. And you had said something like the decisions that we make a day.
Yeah.
That's insane.
I know.
I was like, man, no wonder I'm tired.
I know, right? Our minds are like in overdrive. And I just brought that up yesterday too. At the end of the day, because we think about a million things all day long, but at the end of the day, it's like, how much of that did you put into action? Mm-hmm. Oh, I want to do this. I need to do this. Da, da, da. But then what all did I even do? I feel tired because I thought about everything I needed to do, right?
Yeah.
So it's just reflecting each day and thinking about and feeling good about it. Like, okay, I feel good, but tomorrow I can do better. And yeah, it's a journey and it's a choice. And we choose to show up. We choose to do the work. And a lot of people don't want to go to therapy. They don't want to get the healing or do the inner work. But fuck, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it so much.
Yeah. It's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And it's not pretty. And it's ugly, but it's
for a little bit until you get through it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And once you do that, it's, and you come out on the other side of things of being unbothered or, yeah, it's a way better place to be.
And I just think about too, because I've talked about this before, I used to scream and fight. That was my household growing up. My sister, my mom. The three of us would go at it. I'm sure you witnessed some of our, like, we were just crazy. And then we would separate, go into our rooms and whatnot, and then cool down for 10 minutes and then come out and be like, hey, so what do you want to do today? We wouldn't address it. We wouldn't talk about it. It just kept getting swept under the rug.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something I've had to work through. And all this work that I've been doing over the years, I haven't fought with anybody in almost 3 years now.
Yeah.
And I don't let them get that out of me. I'm like, nope.
I also feel though too, that's like almost sister relationships too.
Oh, for sure. But like, even with ex-boyfriends or husbands, Brock and I used to fight like crazy too.
But my sister and I, we would fight. And then 10 seconds later, I'd be like, can I borrow your shirt?
Yeah, exactly.
So
you stretched out my shirt with your huge boobs. And then, hey, where you want to go?
You still going to have me wear your shoes? Or where are we going?
Yeah, Lauren has an older sister. How many years apart are you guys?
Three.
Three. And so my sister and I are about two. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
But it's that sister relationship too. But I definitely see where you're coming at. It's like with you just come to a point where you're like, okay, that's weird.
I'm sure you don't argue with your sister, or your mom, the way that you used to since this last year of doing. You may still be working through it, but.
I see my grandpa's from the South and he's always called me a willow. Like he's like, baby, you're just a willow. And I'm always like easygoing. I've always been so easygoing. So I don't know. I feel like I don't really argue with people very much unless it's something that's I know it's something that I'm not going to tolerate.
Then setting boundaries.
Yes, and I definitely feel like I'm not an argumentative person.
Yeah.
But I feel like definitely the year of my healing, I have become an argumentative person because I'm like, I'm not. Which is really uncomfortable for me because I am not that.
Going from being a people pleaser to setting boundaries.
Yeah.
that, and it doesn't have to be where you're arguing, but you're standing
your
firm.
Ground, yeah.
Yes.
But it feels argumentative.
Because people aren't going to like it.
Yes.
They're used to treating you a certain way
yes.
and being like, whoa, who's this version?
Yep.
Normally she'd be like, okay.
Or, yeah.
And
yeah.
we're like, no, that's not going to work for me.
Yeah. So yeah. it feels argumentative, but it's mm-hmm. not. Yeah. It's in a way you feel like chaotic because you're like, oh my gosh, like there's all these little
if
arguments.
If they're not receptive of it.
Yeah. But then slowly it just starts to be like, okay, they're shooting their shot and it's not working.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I definitely feel.
And that's where your people in your life change too. They come into your life, come out of your life because you're going to start surrounding yourself with people who hear you, who respect your boundaries. And when it comes to family, I had to distance myself from my family for a while and then they came back around. You just got to do what you have to do to protect your peace.
Yeah, that's true. And that's hard to acknowledge that about yourself. Like, I need to do this to protect my peace. And
yeah,
but it's good for people to do that.
Absolutely. I love constructive criticism. I try and encourage people to have a different perspective when it comes to that. Because so many people, it's just automatic to get defensive.
Oh my gosh. But so many people can't take
I
criticism.
Know. Or like, where you want that because that's pushing you to become a better version of yourself.
Like,
hearing it.
Yeah, yeah. Or just be like, okay, just tell me. My grandpa used to be like, don't comfort me. Oh, I don't know. I can't remember the saying, but basically it was like,
because you're not doing me any good. Don't, right?
Yeah. Don't comfort me with, oh my God, I got to
yeah,
say the saying.
I get where you're going with it though, because yeah, it's not, you're not helping me grow if you're just like, not saving.
Don't comfort me with a lie.
Yes.
Like, don't comfort me with a lie. Hurt me with the truth.
Yes.
That's what he'd say. Don't comfort me with a lie. Hurt me with the truth. And it was always like,
I love that.
Yeah. Cause it's like, okay, I'd much rather hurt someone with the truth than comfort them with a lie and being like, oh yeah, that what you're doing is great.
Yeah.
You're not an asshole.
Yeah. No.
Like, I'd much rather be like, no, you're actually being an asshole.
Yeah.
Like,
and knowing the person who's telling you this too has good intentions
yes,
and they care about
best intentions.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or with the episode with Christina, I don't know if you heard about that, but she had uploaded her very first podcast episode and she's like, oh my God, listen to it. And I listened to it. I was like, oh, God,
and
I
you're
have to
like,
be, yeah.
And you're like, I gotta.
But that's a good friend because mm-hmm. I love her and I support her. And so I had to be, you know, truthful with her. And then she redid it and it was incredible. You know,
yeah.
I've always been that person that is blunt. I'm honest. And that didn't work very well for me growing up. I got shamed for it. You don't mm-hmm. always need to tell people how you feel. And so I was taught that growing up.
But I think that's also like in the same category of what we were talking about earlier of like people being happy for you or
yeah.
happy for your successes or even like going with what telling the truth, even though if it's going to hurt them a little bit. Hey, you shouldn't have really said that.
I would much rather have people hurt me and tell me the truth than lie to me or sugarcoat.
Yeah.
Anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'd much rather be like, girl,
mm-hmm.
what you got on ain't good.
Yes. And
like,
there may
yeah,
be a second,
like, I really like this.
Thank
outfit,
you.
But, okay.
But I know your intentions and care about me and it's coming from a good place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so many people think the criticism, like, they're like thinking that you're, like, coming mm-hmm. from like a space where you're like, oh, I don't want you to do good or I don't want.
Depends on who it's coming from, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so there's so many people that can't handle it or even just saying, okay, not everybody needs to hear that or.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
No, big time. I love that your grandpa said that. Will you say that one more time? I know you forgot the main part, but the truth and.
Comfort me with a lie. Hurt me with the truth.
Yeah. That's
yeah.
good. I like
oh,
that.
Oh, he had some good ones.
Yeah. One I remember growing up, my dad would always say, no expectations, no disappointments. That one replays in my head all the time.
Yeah.
Don't expect things from people and you'll never be
disappointed. Yeah. Lower your expectations. Mm-hmm. I think that's a huge thing that I've learned too this past year for like healing is lowering your expectations because sometimes we have such high expectations of people and they're never going to meet it.
Even ourselves too.
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. 100% of yourself, of other people. And you have to meet people where they're at.
So that brings me to relationships and not just romantic. It could be friendships, relationships with family members and whatnot. But yeah, worry about you. Do what you need to do to make you happy. And I am a perfect example, been married and divorced, engaged. I've been through a roller coaster of relationships. It just comes down to, what do I need to do to make me happy? And respect too, if you're asking something of somebody else and you keep coming across the same problem, it's okay, now what do I need to do to adjust?
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah. It's hard to choose yourself. It's hard to choose yourself because you do get caught up in,
what about this or that? And wanting and hoping that the other person will meet your expectations of what you want in a relationship too.
Yeah, yeah, you know? It's hard to choose yourself. I think with anything, even with friendships or anything, it's hard to choose yourself when things are hurting you and things aren't changing. And
we grew up saying, oh, don't be selfish, put other people before yourself. And that's fucking backwards.
I think that's just women.
Yeah.
I hate to drop that bomb, but just like women in general, it's selfish for you to have self-care. A lot of it is mom guilt too.
Yeah.
Like taking the time to do these things for yourself.
But you have to in order to, you got to fill your tank so you can be there and show up for other people.
Yeah. And that's really hard. Like that's one thing that I was talking to my therapist about was like self-love and like how you do that and how you show yourself self-love. And it's, yeah, you can do all the things, but it's like, how do you put back the worth within yourself?
Yeah. I think it all comes down to balance too. Finding that balance between all of it. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. But that's one thing that for healing too, that's been important is self-love.
I think that should be the number one thing that I just brought that up when Julie and I were going for a walk last night is you can want the love, the relationship, the car, the job, but it all comes down to you have got to fully love and accept yourself and find that first, and then all those other things will come.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And or even being happy for other people that they have that and be like, that's their season. That's good. But this is me right now. And just like we were talking earlier, like comparison is the thief of joy. Like, oh, well, they have this great relationship and it's like they have this or they have that. But it's like, we all don't really know.
But
right?
Absolutely. Especially with social media.
Yeah.
We're all reflections and mirrors to each other.
Yeah. And like manifesting it,
yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I was getting my nails done the other day and I just recently went to Hawaii and the trip got canceled before. And I was like, yeah, I'm not worried about it because I'm going to go. And they're like, oh, I wish I could manifest a trip to Hawaii.
Oh my God.
And
I was like,
I'm going. Like,
yeah, because you literally told me on Friday or Thursday, yeah. I'm going to Hawaii tomorrow. And I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah.
It was like so last minute.
Yeah, but I was like, I'm not worried about it because at first I was upset, but then I was like, no, I'm going to go. Like, I'll go. And I just put it out there and it was like, yeah, it happened. But manifesting thing, and that's one thing that I've learned is
we're manifesting 24/7. Our words are casting spells.
So powerful.
All the time.
Yes, 100%. It's crazy how powerful they can become. And I've tried to change my perspective on, I think the last circle was like changing your perspective of your words of, and one the card I pulled was like, I'm not enough.
Yeah.
And the perspective to that was, what if I'm enough? And it's like, just doing little things like that.
It's that little shift. Like, what if it doesn't work out? What if it does?
Yeah. And yeah. Like, even that, like doing that all the time, switching, it's opened so many doors and possibilities.
And that's so good that you're aware of it and paying attention. I just listened to one of Mel Robbins' recent podcast episodes. I love listening to all of her episodes, but she was talking about synchronicities and signs. And I was like, ooh, yeah, this is my jam. This is my episode. And she talked about how, yeah, we're manifesting all the time, but state it and claim it. And that was such a good reminder to me where it's like, she named an example of being in line at the grocery store and it's all backed up. And in your head, you're like, man, I wish another line would open up. And then a line opens up.
Mm-hmm.
Now claim it. Thank you, universe, because you're manifesting.
Really, yeah.
And then you're acknowledging that.
Came through, yeah.
Yeah. And don't overthink it. And, oh, that's a coincidence. No. If you start paying attention to all the things that you're thinking or speaking about, whether, oh, I never find a parking spot. Yeah, I've witnessed this with so many people. They never do, where I always find a parking spot because I go into it like, oh, I'm going to find the best parking spot. So pay attention to patterns in your life, reoccurring things that you're constantly telling yourself that are working and then aren't working.
I think it's like I saw one thing, or I can't remember where I read it, but it was like, if you're constantly saying, oh, I never see red cars. You'll see red cars all day. Mm-hmm. Or oh, I never see white cars. Like, it's your brain will rewire itself to do that.
I learned this in my MBA academy, the RAS, the reticular activating system.
Yeah.
And they brought that up, and you can Google it. Mel Robbins actually did a YouTube video on it, and there's so many videos on it. But yeah, like, you state something, and then all of a sudden, boom, it's everywhere. Mm-hmm. So your brain, you can literally, it's, you know, the bouncer at a club. Think of your brain. Like, who are you allowing in and who aren't you? Or when it comes to thoughts, too. Like, what all are you allowing in and what aren't you?
Yeah. I think we all need to be a bouncer.
Yeah.
Have club bouncer energy.
Yes. Like, that just goes with our energy field, too. You know, protect your energy. Protect your peace. And who are you giving access to your energy that you're working so hard at? You're doing all this healing. And that goes for being intimate and sexual as well. Like, why are you out there just sleeping with whoever? Because you're taking in their energy and you're giving yours out. And I'm like, I am all this golden sparkly light and this shit ain't, I ain't handing this out. You know what I mean? This is gold.
Yeah. I definitely think we need to be like more bouncer energy and be like, with a negative thought and be like, you don't have your ID.
Yeah. Yes. And there's little tips and tricks that anybody can do. And that's why I'm so passionate about attending the workshops, and I host the full moon circles. And I love hearing when everybody shares how they handle things, and everybody learns something from them.
And you've gone to so many of them, and mm-hmm. you host so many of them. Mm-hmm. But from an outsider perspective, like, they are so healing. And I'm so glad you have the space for people that they, because it's all things we're all kind of feeling.
Yeah.
And even there's been some times where I've gone to the circle and someone has shared something and I've been like, wow, I would have never even thought that you were going through something like that.
You never know what anybody's going through.
Or even like takeaways. Like, I've had so many takeaways from—
where you can relate something in your life to what somebody said. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Or takeaways to foster into my own life. To foster in my life and new practices. And I feel like that has just been like the next level of having those, because most people, there's probably some listening that have gone to the circles, but
they better be listening.
Yeah, better be listening. But it's just the beginning is all these questions, and they're hard.
Sometimes I switch it up each time, but
no, but I like that. Yeah, I like that they're hard.
It pushes you to really think.
Yeah, because I feel like I've never been good at people who are like, what's your favorite color?
Yeah, yeah, me neither.
What's your favorite memory? And I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like,
but when you really are forced to sit there and think about it, and that's why I used to just whip up some questions and then be like, okay, what am I going to do tonight? But I'm like, I need this to work for me. Mm-hmm. I want the experience of the healing too. So I really, each time, what's going on astrologically? How's the energy in the collective?
Well, and I like that you attend them too.
Absolutely. I don't just host them. I go to the other
ones. Yeah, I like that you attend them too, because that says a lot too, which I know you're probably like, duh, but I'm—
No, because I used to not. I used to even be like, oh man, I have to host a circle tonight, where my last episode, I get to. That's been a game changer for me. I get to attend these other workshops. I get to have these healing sessions with these different practitioners.
Yeah. And and that has been sitting down and looking at these questions, and I go to these circles, and
they're such a vibe too.
They're such a vibe.
Yes.
But I go to these circles too, and I pull the tarots, and it always blows my mind every time.
Oh yeah. Cause at the circles, I'll include a worksheet, and then everybody will pull a tarot card or an oracle card. And I think that's my favorite part, where everybody's, oh my God.
Mind blown.
Yes,
every time.
Because it's energy, man.
Every time. And it's like, and just feeling the cards on what you're called to, because I always put my hand over it and I'm like, okay, this one feels right. And it's always resonating. And everybody has this. And
there's no right or wrong way with tarot. There's no right or wrong way to pick a crystal. It's all energy. It's intuitively what you're drawn to.
Yeah. And I've heard people like,
oh yeah, you got the skeptics
the haters gonna say, but they're like, oh, everybody has that card, or it's meant, and it's no. Like, just
tarot's probably one of my favorite. That's what got me excited when I started learning what tarot cards were.
Yeah, because
like,
you sat
whoa.
Down. And, yeah. And you sat down, and, or even I'll pull mine at home.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it always blows me away because it's so significant on what is happening or going on. It's like just to the point.
Yeah. You know how many times I get messages? I have a couple friends, like just last night, somebody DM'd me and was like, hey, can you pull me a card? And I was out walking the bridges. I was like, oh, I'm not at home, but I will when I get home. And I'll just literally sit there and channel their energy, pull a card. I don't read it unless, you know, they give me permission to. But I'll take a picture of it and send it. And then just the messages I get back, oh my God, you have no idea how much I need to hear that. So again, if you're new to tarot cards, there is no right or wrong. Just go Barnes and Noble. Oh man, that's my favorite. They have a full aisle. Just sit there, browse through them, whatever you're drawn to. And
I think even me, like me getting my own tarot read.
What deck do you have? Oh, do you have a deck?
Yeah.
What deck do you have?
I have a moon deck.
Oh, the Moonology?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Okay. I love that one.
Okay.
But I think just getting yours done.
Oh yeah. You can pull your own cards, but yes, I have some incredible tarot readers like Alex where they...
Yeah, and I hosted this Galentine's party and she came and it was like everyone was just blown away. And I'm like, see? But at first when I was like, yeah, there's going to be tarot cards.
People who don't know.
Yeah, they were like, oh, that's cool. But then they got it done and they're like, oh my God, I can't even believe it. And it's pretty powerful.
That actually was the first thing when I started my spiritual journey. I just went out to a psychic out in Belfair.
Yes,
with
I remember.
With some girlfriends. I was doing it. Okay, let's see what this is about. Yeah. And I remember my jaw was dropped. And that's what started everything for me.
What was her name?
Loretta.
Loretta. And I remember us going.
Oh, yeah.
And
I would take everybody out there. You have to come out here.
Yeah, and I went to her and it was insane. Insane. And that's what kicked me on my journey, too. But it was so funny because I was expecting this.
Witchy lady to come
out of her door. And she comes walking out and she's our age.
Yeah, she was only a couple years older.
And I was like, wait, just changed my perspective of what I thought I knew. And I was like, whoa, okay.
I'm telling you all the things, like whether it's having a mediumship appointment, a Reiki appointment, tarot, push yourself, just try new things because you never know what that one thing is that's going to ignite something in you. Or look at Mystic now, location 3, all because I went to a tarot reader and I was like, what is this? This is a whole new thing.
Yeah, you know? But I think that kind of like channels you into like a hamster wheel where you're like, okay, this is going to go into this and this. You'll start healing yourself and then you start noticing other things and that need to change and like giving energy to people on being successful and sharing like being proud of them.
Yeah.
And it just starts this whole new process for you.
Oh, my life is so different ever since I started this journey. I said it in my first episode that I ever recorded. I don't even know what I used to do besides party and what did I talk about? I didn't have anything I was passionate about. And now it's just, I'm a knowledge junkie. I'm addicted to learning.
I think you're definitely a reborn.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Are reborn, 100% reborn. Because I think that, that was your past. But do you ever think that person's dead?
Like, yeah, for sure. Yeah. I don't even know.
Yeah, you're reborn in a way.
Yes, and that's something before we close out, I don't even know how long we've been going, but I'm glad you brought that up because something I've wanted to talk about in one of my podcast episodes was my incident when I was 17.
Mm.
And I'm sure you remember that.
Yeah.
So when I was 17, and that's where I've gone on this healing journey, digging in, because I don't remember my childhood. I don't really remember anything before that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was 17, and I used to not want to talk about this because I'm like, oh, that's not who I am today. People are going to, but now I'm so comfortable talking about it. So when I was 17, I took a whole bottle of Tylenol, 80 Tylenol, and I went to sleep. So it was in my system overnight. And the next morning I woke up and my mom came in and call it mother's intuition. She knew she's like, Tosh, what's going on? And I pointed over to the cabinet and she opened it and she's, I'll be right back, called 911. Anyways, long story short, I went to the hospital and my liver was shot. You could only imagine Tylenol, 80 of them in my system. And so I was in the hospital for a week. And the only memory I really have from that is looking over at my mom, my dad, my sister, and the nurse, and they all started crying because the doctor had told them, hey, you should start preparing to say goodbye. Like, she's not going to make it. Her enzymes are, I forget if it was too low or too high or whatever, but it was the opposite. And then out of nowhere, just it was like a miracle. Boom, they spiked and I was good. Mm-hmm. And over the years, since I started my spiritual journey, I've been asking healers and whatnot, like, why don't I remember? And it was about 2 years ago, the gal was like, let's go into meditation and ask your guides. And she didn't know about this incident. Mm-hmm. All I asked was, why don't I remember my childhood? And she goes, that's weird. I see you in a hospital bed. And I'm like, okay, I know exactly what she's talking about. She goes, interesting. And there's this light being standing right next to you. It's Archangel Michael. And his light went inside your body. And I was like, whoa. Oh,
that's crazy.
And I was like, so does that mean like I'm still me? Did I die? And was I reborn? Yeah. I've had these questions. Mm-hmm. And then, so I've had these incidents over the last couple of years. And it was this last year. Did you ever watch the show Wednesday?
Oh, yeah, a little bit.
Okay. So I love that show. It was so good. There was an episode, the very last episode, where the little girl is dying and she's laying there. And then her spirit guide or angel was next to her. And she was like, okay, you're never going to see me again if I do this, but I can save you. And she went inside her body. And I'm just watching this show and whatnot. And all of a sudden, my whole body started fucking vibrating intense. And then I have tears coming down my cheeks. And I'm like, what the hell? I just knew in that moment, confirmation. Mm. That was spirit saying, hello, yes, this is what happened to you.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, one of those things where you can dig and try and make sense of things and stuff, but it's, I know that's what happened. And maybe there's a reason, because they can say, oh, trauma is why you don't remember your childhood and whatnot. But I also had that happen.
Or like
dissociation. Yes, that word. No. So it's just one of those things that, yeah, we can be reborn several times. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I don't know. I've feel like that was the appropriate time to bring that up. And if anybody has had any experiences like that and whatnot, I used to be obsessed with it, trying to dig in and trying to, that happened. And I've had spirit communicate with me in different ways. Like, I was meant to be here. That wasn't my time to go. And I had a bigger purpose and whatnot. And it's weird to talk about because I'm like, what the, that is not me. I love life. I would never do that. But
that's even like showing like what we were talking earlier, seasons of your life. Like someone, just even my whole cancer stuff, I thought,
by the way, congrats, today is 11 years, right?
11 years, yep. But like, I, at the time, I was like, oh my God, I feel so terrible. Like, I feel awful. And I really worked during that time to be positive. And I just was like, this isn't going to be my life forever. This is not going to be my life forever. This is not going to be
my current situation. Is temporary.
This is just going to be a season in my life. And it's just going to be temporary. And I'm going to move on. And I'm going to have like better times ahead.
And it's happening for me and not to me. One of my favorite.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think that's, you look at it that way too. That was just that little season to teach you something.
Yeah.
Because so many people are like, oh my God, I can't believe that happened to you.
And whatever. Victim mentality.
Yeah. But I'm like, I hate to say, I don't want to say I'm glad it happened to
me. No, but yeah, but I am too.
But I, and I'm sure you do too. Now I always feel like the universe gave me like rose colored frames to look through, because I look at life completely differently now.
Yeah.
Like completely differently now. Like things just aren't the same.
Sometimes there's that one thing that happens, or that one experience, or that one person that just changes
everything.
Mm-hmm. And I do believe that was definitely part of my journey. And then losing my brother, I had the hardest time saying this because it sounds fucked up, but it's the truth. I know my brother's passing was part of the plan, mm-hmm. and meant to open the door for me to do what I'm doing to help and save so many people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's all in my chart. It's out there, but I couldn't go around saying, yeah, it's truth though.
Yeah. And you and I have been friends for so long. Yeah. I remember you going through this, and I remember sitting with you at your old house, and you'd be like, look, I have this coming through. And I remember looking down and being, whoa, you're meant for something out of this world. Like you're meant for something big is coming.
Yeah.
And you're like, I know this is crazy. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Whatever it will be. Like, but see, that's even what we're talking about. Like people in your corner and
being rooting you on. And oops, sorry, I thought that was on silent. Yes. Rooting you on and just being there and supporting you. And yeah, your tribe, that's one of the most, your tribe.
Mm-hmm.
Having a tribe, a solid tribe, is just, whether it's one person, two people, 10 people, that's so important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think what you were saying with your brother's passing, I think that was something that just pushed you. I think you always knew deep down that was something mm-hmm. that you needed or wanted to do, but it yeah. just pushed you into this. And he had so many things like calling to you.
Oh, yeah.
And then came through on so many.
Through yeah. and gives me signs. And
which is awesome.
Yeah.
And so that was just pushed you to that whole
yeah.
thing.
And so. It is scary. Like Lauren and I will both admit, fear is a real thing, but that's where you need to lean in. Is whatever scares you
yeah.
and terrifies yep. the shit out of
you, gotta do
that's
it.
Where you gotta go. Get comfortable being uncomfortable. And hey, I say this all the time, but I'm still guilty of it too. There's still things that scare me and I'm not there yet, but I'm still actively pushing towards those things.
Yeah.
Baby steps, even yeah. if it's one toe, whatever, just make those little steps.
Yeah. And just make the jump.
Yeah.
Yep.
Thank you so much, Lauren, for coming on, and congrats again on 11 years.
I know, it's crazy.
Wow.
Crazy.
And another 10 years is going to go by before you know it. And I just got chills just being present and having so much gratitude for the people in your life and the good friendships and that you have a job and a home. And just there's so much to be grateful for. And I am so grateful for you.
I'm grateful for you. I love you.
I love you. So hopefully you'll come on for some future episodes, because Lauren and I can talk all the things. Absolutely. And we will see you all soon.